Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Uncomfortable. We were talking last week about politics and, well, we're always talking about religion and stuff like that. So we like to keep it uncomfortable around here and make some people squirm, even ourselves, if we got to.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt, I think the last thing we were talking about was respect for office, respect for those who serve in those positions. And the fact that as believers, I think if we honor that, then it helps us when it comes to praying for those people.
You know, it's very interesting that you were talking about that, because one of the biggest things that I've noticed is that we have a huge lack of respect in the body of Christ today for political office, not only in the body of Christ, but even more outside of the church. There's a huge disrespect that's currently going on right now in the world with any kind of political type of agenda. You know, even when you watch the news, CNN or Fox or BBC or whatever your favorite flavor is, everyone tends to have such a, you know, pungent way to look at things to where it's over the top and almost borderline disrespectful.
That's very true. I've even noticed that there's a lot of people on these media outlets, and I won't restrict it to one specific one, but there are a few specific ones that do this. They'll bring somebody in from the other side and they'll just like lambaste them. They will just hit them with every question that they can. And these aren't like questions like legitimately asking. They're meant to be attacks at them, attacks at their character. They don't give them time to answer the questions properly. And if they do start to answer them and the people don't like what they're saying, they cut them off or they say something else, or they hit them with a 1-2-3 combo, hoping to try to get them completely thrown off and say something that they can use as a soundbite later to help destroy them and things of that nature. And I think, I don't know why they do, like, I mean, I know why they do it, but I don't get it. You know, we used to be a place where we encouraged the sharing of ideas, and that's what helped us to become what we became, a world power. The sharing of ideas helps us to become a more perfect union. We weren't perfect when we started. We've got a lot of issues in our history that we do have to acknowledge and be real about and teach our children so that they don't make those same mistakes.
There you go.
And they don't live that same way. But the goal is to be a more perfect union. It wasn't just something they said back then for back then. It's always something going. We need to strive to be a more perfect union, to be better. We dealt with things with the revolution. We dealt with things with the Civil War. We've dealt with things as we hit the Civil Rights Movement. We've dealt with different issues and different stuff as time has gone on and on and on. And we're getting better and better and better when it comes to that stuff. But all of a sudden, now we've got people who are going, oh no, we're horrible people, and now we have to basically be destroyed because of it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, look, you're completely doing the opposite of what was put in our Constitution, which I believe was inspired by God.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. It was I personally feel definitely it was inspired by the Lord. I think many times we see that people almost push that to the side because they don't believe what history has recorded, because so many people have tried to cover up the Judeo-Christian roots that we have. I mean, even in many of the famous paintings that we have of George Washington, we see him praying. We see him on his knees in the middle of a snowy field praying. One of them with the famous, with the Quaker, you know, looking through the bushes. Well, the famous story behind that one was that this Quaker went home and he began to, you know, put his head down in his head in his hands, and his wife was like, "Honey, what's wrong?" And these people were against Washington. They were lovers of the British. They were sympathists with Britain. And she goes, "What's wrong?" He goes, We've lost. And she's like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, when anyone prays like that, there's no way God can't hear." And that's the story behind that painting. But people bury the history that's behind the things that we have that show the history that we have been through. And when we cover up history or we forget history, we're bound to repeat it. That's just the way it is. The whole purpose of recording history so that you don't repeat the bad moments, the horrendous things that happened in the past. No one wants to go back and repeat past mistakes. Unfortunately, when people, because they don't want to acknowledge the truth, they begin to bury the past, they make a path for the same mistakes to happen tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true. And the fact is, we're on the road to that right now. And it's not just our national history. It's world history. You look at the state of where we are right now. The biggest thing that they are attacking, that the other side is attacking right now, is not only believers, but also you hear a lot of them saying that basically white people are the devil, right?
I've heard people say that.
Right. So, I mean, that's just not in so many words. They're just saying that they're horrible, they're racist, they're all this, they're all that. So at first I'm like, okay, these people are whack. But then I started looking, really digging into it and thinking about it. If you want to subjugate a group of people and you want to completely put them under your control, the best way to do that is to get them fighting against each other. And the only way to take out a nation is you're going to have to do it one group at a time. Yep. Well, if you can get everybody focused, even people of their own same ethnic background, focused on the fact that you're bad and you're evil and you're born that way and you don't have any choice, you get all other groups looking at that one ethnicity that way, plus a lot of the people in their own ethnic group looking at them that way, then you take them down. They're incapable because of the pressure from society on them to do anything, because anything they would stand up to do is looked at as bad, bigoted, racist, or evil. Once you take that group out, then you go for the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And it's like this old adage I remember hearing that says, when they came for this group of people, we did nothing. When they came for this group of people, it wasn't us, so we still did nothing. They came for that group, and then the next group, and next group. And then finally, they came for us. And when they came for us, we looked around, and there was nobody around to help us.
Do you know where that came from?
No.
Germany.
I don't. Germany? I was wondering if that's what it was.
That was the believers in Germany, the Christian church in Germany, that kept ignoring what was happening to the Jews.
I knew it was something to do with us, but...
So it was that was where that was from, and that's literally what happened. They did nothing, and then Hitler finally, after he persecuted the Jews to the fullest extent, and his own people that were not with his party, then he began to persecute the church that didn't fall in line with his exact ideologies exactly the way he wanted it. And there was no one left to support them because they had done nothing. They had not stood up for anything.
And that's where we are. I mean, they're in that same playbook. From everything I've looked at and read, it appears to be, I can't say this with authority, but from everything I understand, it comes from the Marxist playbook. And so basically that's all they're trying to do. They're trying to take it out, and they just are like, well, we've got all the time in the world, and we'll just take you guys out one at a time. And then eventually one of these groups are going to look up and nobody's going to be there, so we're going to take them out too. And they don't care which group it is. They're just going for the biggest, loudest one right now. And then they're going to go for the next biggest, loudest one, and so on and so forth until they cut it all out and none of us have any freedom whatsoever. So it is a place that we do need to stand. Now, things might, a lot of people, when they say take a stand, they mean it in more of a violent way. And that's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. I do agree with the fact that there are times where it's necessary to take up arms against an enemy. Yes. Especially when it's net like absolutely necessary. But I do believe that for us, we should, as believers, subscribe. I subscribe more to the way Dr. King did it, that it should be done peacefully and with prayer,
Absolutely.
and that we should be speaking and declaring the word over different cities and towns and the capital, and over people that are serving in these positions or working in these positions. I think we need to speak and declare the word of God over them. We need to be listening for what Holy Spirit tells us to say and do. And I also think that we need to continue to love each other. We need to continue to love people, even that don't think like us, that don't believe like us. I mean, that's easier said than done, but it's something we should still do.
Absolutely. And I think that we have to be very careful with the way we move forward with this because many times people go in to politics just like they do with religion or anything else, looking at this, looking at life, looking at their situation, looking at the political agenda, and they only think about it through the stained glass window of their life that they've been through. And they don't consider the fact that they may be tainted, any of us could be tainted by the things that we've been through, the experiences of our life that could cause us to have a negative view towards someone else or another group or towards a person's opinion. Now, that could even be a Democrat versus Republican, a Republican versus Democrat. It could be that you had a bad experience with one person in your time as a kid, and that changed your complete opinion of the world.
Yep.
Not everybody grew up with parents that told them that we're all the same, we all bleed the same color, and that there's nothing different about us. Not everybody had that experience. And there could be people that have even had some very negative things happen to them in their life, which could cause them to have a very negative view towards certain situations, people, or categories, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Prejudices.
Right.
And I don't mean prejudices against a racial group, but just against people in general, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, if I'm, Irish and I know you're Italian, I might get all worked up, thinking you're trying to be the Italian stallion, trying to push down, the Irish. So there's all kinds of different people that'll have different perspectives in life. And throughout history, we've seen the Polish, the Irish, the Italians, all of them had a negative slant towards it at one point. Now we have people that are pouring across the border to the point to where people are starting to have a very negative viewpoint of people from South America. And that's not a fair thing. Now, do I agree with what's happening at the southern border? Absolutely not. Do I agree that we need to try to make the best situation for those that are here now? Well, yeah, I mean, you don't, the only thing you can do is make lemonade with the lemons that you've got. I can't go and make the changes that we need for everything. If I could, I would. But the reality is we need to pray for those people coming across the border. We need to ask God to show us a way to reach them for his kingdom. We need to be ones that are becoming the agent of change in a time of need, not someone that sits there and bad mouths, complains, and turns around and starts some political agenda just because we dislike something. Because then we become no better
Yeah,
than anyone else.
that's true. No, I agree. I think, I mean, it's our responsibility to pray for our borders, to pray that those who mean to do individuals and people harm here, that God would make it where they're not able to get in, or something would happen where they'd have to turn away, or something like that. For people who are coming in that they legitimately are like, I just want to try to have a better life for my family, they're running away from something else. I mean, I get it, but by jumping in like that, you're skipping thousands of other people who are trying to run away from the same thing, but they're doing it legally
There you
and
go.
they're doing it the right way. And I do think there should be some sort of thing at the border. And I do think that believers should be manning the border, not necessarily the same way as like the border patrol or something, but for those that that are there that we should set up something similar to what we've done in history, taking care of the orphans, taking care of the widows, taking care of the disenfranchised, like helping to set things up and to preach the gospel, like you said, to preach the gospel to these people and bring healing and wholeness to their life for some of the traumatic things they might've even been through. So
absolutely. And the thing is we've got to be very careful about being judgmental as believers because you know, just like I mentioned a minute ago,
we're good at it though.
Whether it doesn't matter who you are, unless you are Native American, you are absolutely an import at some point in history. So at some point, each person that came across these borders was, you know, judged against. Now, do I agree with people just breaking the laws to come across the border or certain political agendas being put in place to try to flood our borders? No, absolutely not. But what I do agree with is reaching people for the Lord, loving the lost, you know, making the best out of the situation and trying to pray for those people that are coming across, praying that they'll have an encounter with Jesus Christ so that they'll be revolutionized, go from being a criminal in their life to being someone who is a positive role model for the community that they end up in, and not someone that brings harm, but someone that helps to bring good to their community. And as agents of change, we can do that if we're a light to them. But if we sit there and simply just yell and fuss and complain and never do anything to create positive change, then we're no better than the bigot.
I'd agree with that. I'd completely agree with that. But I would even venture to say that because there's so many people that have flooded over and so many of them are coming from, you know, if you believe everything that's on some of the news stats, there's a lot of criminals that have come over.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I do believe that that's probably the case. I think the only way that you combat that is through Christ. He's the only one that can turn a criminal into something different. I have too many people that either I'm personally related to or have known in my lifetime that have been criminals at one point in their life that have run the streets and sold drugs or do other things that you just shouldn't be doing. That's not what most citizens do. But then you hear their story, you hear their testimony on how God pulled them out of that, how he rescued them from the lifestyle, how he showed them that that's not what he wants for their life.
That's right.
And now seeing some of them, of course, if I'm related to them, seeing them before and the after, and the ones that I know now and hearing about their life before, it's two completely different people. And it shows that it's possible that with Christ, you can change. You can be a different person. You can grow. You can get rid of those old ways and those old things. Doesn't mean that you don't have to put some work in, but it's possible to do.
There you go. Whether it's someone that's coming out of a criminal past or somebody that's a politician, and I put those two side by side because many people claim that politicians are criminals. Not every politician is, by the way. There's a lot of good men and women out there serving our country as politicians that have no ill intent. But
yep.
Whether you're a criminal or whether you're a politician, the reality is that we need to make sure that we're being agents of positive change in reaching the world around us. And the only way to affect someone that's a politician or a criminal is to be an agent of change, to be one that prays over them, that loves on them. You know, Jesus says you're supposed to love the ones who can't be loved. You know, people don't like to hear that, but that's just reality right there. That's a good dose of reality.
Politicians are easy to hate. Yeah, politicians are easy to hate. Yeah. So,
and the thing is we don't like to think about the fact that if we don't do something, that we can't have a voice.
Right.
But that's just reality, man. You know, if we don't sit here and actually make a positive change, nobody's going to be out there on our behalf to try to help us make that change, be the change. We have to take an active part in that. Otherwise, we're going to take 5 or 10 steps back and have no effect on the nation, on the generation that comes after us. The only way that we can be an agent of change to where we're bringing about change is by taking action. What does that mean? How does that look? Well, it could be get off your couch, stop watching so much TV, and run for office. It could be get off your couch, stop watching TV, or stop listening to so much music, and go run to sit on your kid's school board. Oh, now I'm meddling right there, buddy. The reality is it's too many people complain about the problems they see and don't take action. And now this is very uncomfortable for everybody. Lots of people don't like to do things after they're done with work. But there's a lot of political jobs out there that can be done that they're not paid, but they're very needed to help influence the decisions that are made with our children and their future.
That's true.
But we have to be willing to take that effort. We have to take that change moment. We have to be able to inconvenience ourselves and step outside the box and begin to move and do things in such a way that where we make a effort towards our future, towards the future of our children. You know, and that's not just giving money away like we've seen our government do over the last several years, because that only creates more debt for the next generation. It needs to be a positive change to where we're pouring out love, pouring out skills, we're pouring out mentoring, you know, being inconvenienced. You know, that's a word in the body of Christ. I know we're talking about politics, but I'm going to meddle a little bit when it comes to just the general Christian life. Even in the Christian church, many times people don't want to take the time to mentor, you know, somebody in their faith. But Jesus himself had 3 at the center core of his group. Of that, of the 12, he had another of 5. So there's 3 and then 2 more, which made the 5. And then from the 5, there was the 12. So he had 12 down to 5, down to 3. So the 12 was like an overview. You know, the 5 was getting a lot closer. Then there's the 3 that he poured everything he was into, trying to make him copies of himself.
Yep.
What if we all were so intentional with our life that where we mentored 2 to 3 people at all times, and within 2 to 3 years, we turned them loose and said, now it's your turn to go mentor someone else. I believe if we all began to mentor people around us, we would begin to see change in the world. Mentor people in life, mentor them in politics, mentor them in the gospel. We'll begin to see a positive change that would revolutionize things for the good of society.
I'd agree with that. I think that's part of the reason that we're facing the issue we're facing, because there was that split so many years ago, and the only mentoring that happened as far as the church goes was by society. Society never stopped mentoring. It always does and always will. We just purposely stopped. Like we made an active decision as the church. And I say we, even though I wasn't even a part of it back then, I wasn't even alive back then when that decision kind of happened. It's like we on purpose stopped choosing to mentor and to disciple people and said, well, you know what? It's not a big deal. And we're not going to be here much longer anyway.
So that was the biggest lie from hell that anyone's seen right there.
You know, and they just decided that as they still kept trying to get people saved, but they stopped trying to mentor and disciple them. It became about salvation only, and that's not what the way Jesus says it. I think it was, oh my goodness, there's several people that have said it, but one of the ones that I know of his name really well is Dutch Sheets. He has said that we fulfill, that the Great Commission is covered in both Matthew and Mark, and one of them says that our responsibility is to bring souls into the kingdom, basically in a nutshell, summing up the whole thing, and the other one is to disciple them, to disciple the nations, win the nations to Christ and disciple the nations. So you can't do one without the other. When you do the one without the other, society still disciples the nation, and then it leads it to where we are. But if we win them to Christ and we disciple the nation, we disciple them and we disciple the nations, then you have a better society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
because people don't have to believe exactly the way we believe specifically, but if everyone believes that society has a set of rules and laws that exist that govern that society, that it doesn't change with every wind of feeling that everybody gets it on a whim, it doesn't change because you had something that hurts your feelings and I had something different that hurt my feelings, so we're going to change what truth is. Truth is truth is truth, period. Whether I believe it or not, whether I agree with it or not, whether I even know it or not. Gravity doesn't stop being gravity because I don't know anything about it.
That's right.
The stars don't stop being in the sky because I don't know anything about how it happens. They're there. It doesn't change. It won't change until God says otherwise. And it's the same thing with him and his word. Those standards exist. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we like it or not, it is what it is. And that, when you have a society by and large that believes that basic principle, that truth is truth and it's not subjective, it changes the way people act, changes the way people interact,
right?
So it changes how we connect and communicate with one another. That's my opinion. And my opinion doesn't necessarily matter to every single person out there, but.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, I think that's about all we need to say about that today.
Well, we could say more, but we're not going to go into that.
Yeah.
That just starts getting into the too much specifics that we don't want to touch right now because. We just want to create conversation. We don't want to shoo people away. We want everybody to be able to communicate. I mean, you might not like anything we've said so far, and that's okay. You're entitled to do that. You're in America.
That's right. And the reality is the biggest push that we have in our conversation is we want you to think. We want you to be stirred up and to consider and
uncomfortable.
To take the word and begin to consider the word according to everything else in the world around you. We don't want you to stay comfortable. We want you to be uncomfortable to the point to where you begin to study the word of God yourself and be enriched and renewed in the renewing of your mind through the word of God.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that we try to do in our personal lives as well. Now, guys, we want to thank you for joining us this evening for another episode of Uncomfortable. We hope you join us again. If you have any comments, please reach out to us at info@mooseministries.org. You can also go to the mooseministries.org website, go to the comments section, and you can send us a message there as well. We'd love to hear your prayer requests or any topics that you'd like us to discuss. Guys, you have a great one. God bless you.
Stay uncomfortable.